Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Messy & Co. I'm Ashley here with my amazing co-host, Gian. And today is an exciting episode because it is the official preview episode of Inter Miami versus Nashville SC in the Round of 16 CONCACAF Champions Cup match that's going to be taking place tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central Time in Nashville at Geodis Park. It will be available on Fox Sports and at, Gian, you have to say it. How do you say the Spanish version?
TUDN. So
TUDN. I knew it too. And I literally just said it to him beforehand. I'm like, what a fun way to say it. TUDN. Okay. But yeah, so first of all, I want to check in after we did our live stream on Monday, which was awesome. And we had a lot of great interaction, talked about a lot of great topics. But how are you doing, Gian?
I'm doing great. I'm doing awesome on the eve of what is to be a really, I think, a really good measuring point for Inter Miami. You know, as we've been pretty successful, I think, the first couple of games. So tomorrow's going to be a big tournament for us, something that we've been looking forward to, something that we earned because we won the League's Cup last season. Right. So this is exciting. And just to, I guess, point back to what you said, we had a great little live episode on Monday. That was actually fun. Fun to interact with everybody, fun to get questions, opinions, and I hope that we can do a lot more of those. So yeah, we're excited and ready to get started on this preview.
Yeah, agreed. You know what? I think that's actually a really great place to start. By the way, for everyone who's looking for the video version of this, this is actually an audio-only preview for the game tomorrow. We will be posting it on YouTube. But it will be audio only in terms of the content you're getting. We just want you to still listen, give your opinion, give your thoughts. We'll be back with video tomorrow post-game for our post-game live stream that is probably going to happen around 11 p.m. Eastern, you know, give or take when the game ends. So make sure you're listening to this full episode. But yeah, you know, I think that's a really good place to start. Is that not the last time we played them, because we played them in a somewhat meaningless game towards the end of the season. But, you know, last year we faced Nashville SC in the finals of the Leagues Cup in Nashville at Geodis Park. And it was a pretty intense game. Obviously, it was a 1-1 draw and we ended up going to penalty kicks and won. But what are your feelings about it, Gian, and seeing that we're going to be playing them again in a really intimidating atmosphere where, you know, lots of yellow? It's a really cool stadium. I've passed it in Nashville, and they did a really great job of creating a really cool environment. But yeah, how are you feeling about that? Just from not even on the field, just off the field, just the environment, the atmosphere.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. I remember, we were together watching that game, you and I.
We are. Over at 40,000 views.
Yeah, at a brewery here. If you don't know what she's referencing and you haven't heard it on the other podcast, she's talking about a video where we caught every penalty on film that was on YouTube, and it ended, basically the video ended with me taking my shirt off and running around, and I forgot that I was being filmed, and that ended up being the video that has the most views till date. Lucky or unlucky for me. But yeah,
it's great. Check it out. I'll link it.
But that's what she's talking about. But yeah, like I mean, the atmosphere was great last time. Probably one of the most thrilling games that we've watched in history for Inter Miami against Nashville in that crazy, very even game in the League's Cup final in Nashville. And I mean, if it's anything like that, tomorrow we're in for a treat. But we'll talk a little bit about more on expectations soon about that. But yeah, that was thrilling. That was a game where we saw, I lost count of how many penalties. I think it must have been like 20 penalties or over 20 penalties. It went down.
Yeah,
to the
wire.
I mean,
at least 11, because it ended with the goalkeeper. So I guess 22. Yeah.
Yeah. So like 22 penalty kicks. We had action from beginning to end. We had a game that was extremely even, a game where Messi was the hero early on, where he scored an amazing goal. If we can remember that one goal, that it was, I believe it was a deflection off of a Nashville defender, where Messi gets the ball right out of the box, dribbles a couple times, has four defenders around him, finds like an inch of space, and like is able to put the ball, like a centimeter of space. Like even on the replay, it was just tough to find how the heck he got that off. And it's just a curler to the left side, like right in the angle, top angle of the goal. So that was just beautiful. And then
remember Campana had the miss at the last minute.
Campana in the 92nd minute, Campana has a ball, a beautifully placed ball from, I believe it was Busquets, puts it in behind the defender, and then it ends up being Campana by himself against the goalie. Campana chips the goalie, goes around him, the ball goes long, he slides with his left and tries to tap it in, and it hits the goal post. It hits the goal post and goes out in the 92nd minute. That was, wow. Yeah, that was quite a game. I'm already like getting excited about, you know. So if it's anything like that, we're in for a treat for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think, you know, to that point, Nashville will be coming hungry to it. And, you know, knowing how things ended last time when they were playing a game that had a lot of significance, they still have a lot of their core pieces. They have Hani Mukhtar, who just signed an extension, I believe, today through 2027. So he'll be staying around for a while. Walker Zimmerman, who's obviously a U.S. men's national team player. They have a good squad. And so far this season, two games in, they actually have only had two draws. So they haven't quite begun to, I guess, you know, light up the field and get goals and stuff sort of where they were in form last year. But it's still early, so we'll see a pickup. But you know, this is a huge game with a lot of implications. We've talked about it multiple times, and so have everyone, you know, in the chats and comments. You know, we're all pretty much a consensus that the most important tournament and trophy that Inter Miami want to win this year is the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Obviously, MLS League, you know, I'm hoping we win and we make it far in the playoffs, but the Champions Cup opens up so many doors, both domestically and internationally, for the club champion, for the team. The fact that next year they get to play the Champions League, you know, the Champions League winner in Europe and all, you know, in Asia, and just it's such an important tournament. And also, you know, like the winner of Brazil and in South America, it's really important, and it's great for the global recognition of the team. So it's a super important tournament. It's a super important game. We just had an excellent showing versus Orlando City. Can we keep up the momentum? Can we keep up, you know, showing that we are the best team in the league with some roster changes that are going to now be in effect that we'll get to in a minute? But yeah, a lot of weight. Really exciting.
Yeah. The most, if probably I would say most clubs are going to agree that it's the most prestigious tournament that they can win at this level, right up there, like for European teams, the Champions League. In most cases, you're going to want to put that trophy at first, and then comes the league. It would be huge for Inter Miami to win that. It'd be huge for Inter Miami to win that in what is fourth season. That would be just like insane. And for it to be Messi, like imagine Messi adding another piece of very important silverware to his plate, that would be just incredible as well. And Inter Miami, we know they're trying to go global. We know they're trying to do big things on the world stage.
If preseason taught us anything.
Yeah, exactly. If preseason taught us anything. So that would be big for them as well in their journey to becoming a global club. And then finally, you know, beating, I think going into the Champions Cup, like Mexican teams tend to be the favorites. Yeah. So being able to go in there as an MLS team and coming out a winner and taking that Champions League Cup is going to kind of help us also help MLS as a league and their kind of contribute to their growth. And go to what their goal is basically to say we're a better league than Liga MX, and that's what they've been trying to prove. That's where they're trying to bring in not only Messi but also younger players from South America and other big name talent so that they can compete with leagues like Liga MX. So yeah, it'd be huge huge for us. And tomorrow is the first step in that journey.
100%. And yeah, so I mean, the energy should be there, the excitement, the gravitas, you know, it's part of what Inter Miami has wanted to invest in is for these moments. So we are so excited. And now that we've talked a little bit about sort of off the field and the emotions and the bigger conversation, I think let's get to on the field. Just like I alluded to a little earlier, we obviously have made some big roster changes just from Saturday to now, with two of the most notable being that we've traded DeAndre Yedlin, and we've also traded John Mota, who are both, and while Mota hadn't been playing that much, obviously he was still warming up and he had a very bad injury last year, he was an important part of that midfield depth. And DeAndre Yedlin obviously was our starting right back. So for this immediate game, what do you think is going to be like what we see in terms of the first roster changes reflected in the starting lineup from what we just talked about? Oh, and also Federico Redondo, who I'm sure we're about to mention, has had his paperwork cleared and has had his first practices with Inter Miami, his first media, et cetera, and is fully part of the team. So Gian, what do you think, starting with DeAndre Yedlin and then maybe into the midfield, what do you think those first changes are going to look like?
Yeah, so starting with DeAndre Yedlin, that's a big hit on the club, most definitely, especially when you don't have a natural right back at that position. And even Tata Martino actually spoke on that today. He had his press conference actually like 30, 40 minutes ago over at Geodis Park. And he alluded to the fact that they don't have any specific right back on the team right now. So he's in recognition of that. And he was saying that an option at that position could be Ian Frey, which is actually something that we had spoken about in one of our episodes. We had spoken about Ian Frey possibly being an option there, especially when he comes back. Right now, he's still recovering from injury. We saw that he was doing some individual training on the field this week. So that's always a good sign. But for now, with him out, with Ian Frey not necessarily being available yet, you could definitely see Gressel go into that position and start at right back tomorrow. He's a very he is a very versatile player. He's played in the midfield very well, as we've seen so far this season. In his former clubs, he's also played at the right back position. So that's something that we can definitely see moving forward, is seeing him play that position until and if again, players like Ian Frey come into the picture, or if there is another signing. So that's going to be interesting, because we saw that Gressel actually excelled in the midfield. He did very well for us in the midfield. Started off a little bit on the wrong foot first game, but has progressively found his footing and has done better. And he actually had, I believe it was 2 assists last game against Orlando City. So moving him to that right back position gets him out of the midfield. But at the same time, the way Inter Miami plays, they very much use that left back and right back positions to help in the attack. So he'll still get his opportunities to be able to place those centers or place those balls into Messi or into Suarez. So I don't think we'll lose too much, I don't think we'll lose too much from Gressel, especially because of the way Inter Miami plays. But that's definitely something that I think we'll see. And then as far as the midfield is concerned, if you've seen our tweets, we recently tweeted how much depth Inter Miami has at the midfield position. They can do so many things there, even if Gressel isn't there, because he's in the defense. And especially as you alluded to, Ashley, with Redondo coming in, and Tata actually said in his press conference about 45 minutes ago that he is available for tomorrow. So we could very much see a midfield of Redondo, Busquets, and Gomez, or Redondo, Busquets, and I think it's going to be those two. But if it's not, you always have Ruiz that can also play there. You have Robert Taylor, depending if he's not playing another position, maybe up at the wing. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you can do. I don't know. What do you think? What would you like to see at the midfield?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I think the back four is going to be Alba, Freire. That time I said it right. Aviles and Julian Gressel as the right back. Midfield three, I think it's going to be Busquets, Gomez, and Redondo, unless unless Redondo, you know, unless they feel like it's so far behind, I think he's going to be starting tomorrow. And if not, it would be Ruiz. I don't see it being any other option but that. Like I said, I think it's going to be Redondo. If not, it's 100% going to be Ruiz. And then it's going to be the same front three of Suarez, Messi, and Robert Taylor. And to your point, you know, because now Gressel is obviously so great offensively moving forward and great at picking passes and picking runs, something that, you know, DeAndre struggled with a bit with his forward, you know, his final ball. I think that we're going to really get to see sort of the 4-3-3 at its best and kind of how it's intended to be play and how Tata has always wanted to play. So yeah, that's what I see the starting lineup being.
I think it's going to be basically the same. I don't think there's going to be many changes except
in terms of tactics. Yeah.
Yeah. Except in tactics. And as far as even a personnel, aside from, again, trying to plug that right back position, because I thought that was asked that specific question earlier on today. And he said, look, we've found success in what we've done so far these last couple of games in regards to formation. He said, when you're producing, meaning making goals, when you're scoring, it's hard to go in and change what's already working. He said, the only change that we have to make is at the right back position. So that leads us to think that we're probably going to see a very similar team with Suarez up front, with Messi up front, with Taylor up front, when that's what's been working for Inter Miami so far. So yeah, I think we're going to see the same team. One thing I wanted to mention actually is the importance of going into Giotis tomorrow and making sure that we're an aggressive team and that we don't necessarily go in with we're a visitor mentality, because
right,
you want to go in there and play your game. And Inter Miami is a very good attacking team, as we've seen, scored 5 goals against Orlando. They're a team that needs that in order to be successful, needs to have the ball in their possession, and they need to be able to build the attack. They're not a counter-attacking team. They're more of a keep possession of the ball and build off of that. So I think that it's important for Inter Miami as they go into tomorrow is not to say, hey, we're going to give up possession of the ball. We're going to wait for you to decide what you're going to do, Nashville, and we're going to wait to kind of respond to that and give them the ownership of the ball, the ownership of the game, and say, hey, we're going to respect your house. I don't think that that would be prudent, and I don't think that that's what Tata is going to do, especially knowing that in this case, away goals do count. Right. So that's something important to make sure that we need to score tomorrow, because you don't want to go into tomorrow's game not score or going with a tie. And go with a tie, and then you're basically giving Nashville the opportunity to come to Chase Stadium next week, and all they have to do is win by one goal, and then, you know, they basically have the game in their hand. So I think that that's going to be important for us as we go into tomorrow's game, is making sure we do take the reins and make sure that we're in control of tomorrow's game.
100% agree. I mean, you know, one factor is that obviously Hani Mukhtar, who's the star of Nashville, hasn't played in the last few matches because he had a hamstring injury that he got during the first CONCACAF Champions Cup match that they played. But the coach has, you know, made some comments that his recovery has gotten better. I think he's probably going to play tomorrow. I'd be, you know, unless it's been such a bad setback. They said it was in the air, but, you know, for a game of this importance, because he didn't play the last 2 games for Nashville, I think he will be playing. And they do have their own offensive firepower, and especially if Mukhtar is playing, you know, it means that they're going to be on their front foot. And look, to your point, in terms of pressure and going into, you know, Giotis Park and understanding what we have to do, look, our 4 Barcelona boys and all have played at the Bernabeu. They've played at Wembley Stadium. They've played at Old Trafford. You know, they have played in hostile environments. Yeah. I think that Giotis Park probably isn't high on their list of hostile environments that they've had to play in. But obviously, you know, for the other players, it could be. And I think it's important that this is instances where not just on the pitch in terms of play, but the leadership of these talismen to be able to calm everyone's nerves and to be able to play their style of game, their game plan, their best, you know, beneficial aspects of their game, what they practice, what they work towards, what they know that they can accomplish. And these will be instances where we see that experience and leadership, I think, come to fruition.
Yeah, I think tomorrow's going to be tough when you're trying to figure out like what to expect. Because I'm not 100% convinced on Nashville, and I don't know what type of Nashville team we're going to see tomorrow. Just because going back to your point about Hany Mukhtar and how important he is to Nashville, how much of a threat he is. Like, we saw Hany Mukhtar play in the first game against Moka FC.
Yeah.
In the first round of CONCACAF Champions. He scored, I think, within the first 10 minutes. And it was him and Sam Surridge is their center forward.
They played for my team in England named Bournemouth.
Yeah, I know what team that is.
Yeah, that's where I used to live, so I always support them.
But Sam Surridge, that's their two best players, Sam Surridge and Hany Mukhtar. Those are the guys that get things done for them. And they play so well off of each other, right? So in that first game where they played against Moka FC in the Dominican Republic, they played I think the first goal was a Hany Mukhtar goal with an assist from Sam Surridge.
Yeah.
Then literally like 7 minutes later, it's a goal by Sam Surridge off a Hany Mukhtar assist to show you how well they play off of each other. And then there was a third goal. I can't remember who scored that third goal. But that's when Hany Mukhtar got, I think he got subbed off like at the 35th minute. He got injured. Sam Surridge was injured. And then I don't think they've played since that first game. Then they go and they play the second game for CONCACAF Champions, which is a return game, and they end up playing in Nashville. They win 4-0. Mm-hmm. So they win with a 7-0 aggregate. That's a game where Sam Surridge and Hany Mukhtar didn't play at all. But I think Tyler Boyd and what is the other guy? There's Tyler Boyd and Sheffield or something like that. They played very well. They're two speedy wingers, and they played very well off of each other, assisting each other and that sort of thing. So they've got two pairs of guys that can play very well off of each other. But it's hard to tell for me what type of Nashville we're going to see, because they've played, because of those injuries and the four games that they've had so far this season, two Champions Cup games and two season games. Yeah, it's been a different lineup every game. And they haven't looked when Hany Mukhtar and Sam Surridge aren't on the field, they don't look good. They don't look like a good team. And I'm not going to take that 4-0 versus Moka FC game as a game that says, hey, these guys can play well without Hany and Surridge, because again, it was against not a good team. Moka FC from the Dominican Republic is not the best team or the best judge to judge a team's performance off of. But when they played against the New York Red Bulls, they got dominated.
Yeah.
New York Red Bulls completely dominated them. They had plenty of opportunities to score. I don't know why they didn't. And it ended up being, I believe it was a tie game. And
New York Red Bulls have Emil Forsberg, who starts for Sweden national team. So exactly. That'll be interesting when we see them in a few weeks.
Yeah, but that national team actually looked completely lost. They couldn't build. They couldn't hold on to possession of the ball. They couldn't build on plays. They basically, their whole game plan was basically kick the ball up to the center forward who's in line with New York's defense and hope that somehow the defender makes a mistake and the ball gets through, which worked like one time. So if Hany and Surridge don't play tomorrow, I don't think they stand a chance. If they do, then Inter Miami is going to have to make sure they're on top of their game with those two. And then also their defender. What was your defender's name again?
Walker Zimmerman.
Zimmerman is a guy that can put really good passes from that backfield. And he's a guy that actually likes to run to the front and become a part of the offense. So, I mean, that just to end, it's basically, I don't know what's going to happen because I don't know who's going to play. I don't know what the lineup is going
to
be.
And that's a big competitive advantage to Nashville. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's 100%. And I guess, look, we can only wait and see, and you know, we'll find out before kickoff like everyone else. But yeah, to your point, look, those are some really huge quality players, and whether they play or not, obviously is going to make a huge difference in how, if Nashville is going to, you know, park the bus, or if they're going to kind of be more free flowing attacking. Walker Zimmerman went to the World Cup, you know, he played and he is a very good defender for sure, especially in Nashville and the team he plays for. Really great job, but we can only wait and see. Like I said, I mean, I don't know so much about Serge's injury, but I know that for Hani Mukhtar that I expect him to play. I don't know if maybe it's start, maybe he comes in the 60th minute. I expect him to play tomorrow. I'd be surprised if he didn't. But we can only predict what we can predict. And on that note, I would say let us put in our predictions for tomorrow. We gave our lineups, what we think is going to happen. I think Russell will be right back. And then just it's going to depend on how comfortable they feel about Redondo. But it's either going to be him or Ruiz in the midfield to take Russell's place. And I think everything else is going to remain as is. Score predictions. I'll go first this time because I think normally you go first, Gian. So we'll mix it up. I think Inter Miami is going to win 3-0. And I think that they are going to park the bus. And I think that Inter Miami are going to be able to break it somewhat easily. And then once that happens, they are going to have trouble with their backup plan. And while I said Mukhtar may play, Serge, I don't know, they're not at full health, obviously. And so what, you know, we saw from the first match that they played in the CONCACAF Champions Cup to what we're going to see now, I don't think it's going to be the same free-flowing, amazing game. And this is midweek. This is where they've just had two draws in a row and they're maybe not feeling 100% their best, where we just had a dominating 5-0 win. I feel good about our chances. I really do. And you know, we'll see it. Champions League, Champions Cup, it always ends up being closer than what it may look like on paper. So maybe 3-0 is obviously, it's being very optimistic. But what I saw on Saturday, I feel so good about this team and where Nashville clearly right now is struggling in terms of availability and consistency. I think we can, you know, capitalize on it, or I'm hoping we do at least. So that's where I am.
Yeah, I can definitely see that 3-0 happening. It's definitely a realistic result, especially if Inter Miami continues to click like we saw them against Orlando. If that wasn't like a one game, you know, everybody played at the top of their game and you know, it might not happen as often. No, if they actually clicked, they finally understood how to play together. Everybody's on the best of their game, like Suarez, and then for sure I see a 3-0. But I think that Inter Miami, if they can continue to play like they've played, if the midfield can continue to be as solid as they have, disrupting the flow of the offense of the opposing team, continuing to take care of the ball as they, because early on in the first two games, they were giving away balls in the midfield.
Are you about to say like 8-0?
No, not that much. I do have a higher scoreline than you, but not 8-0.
All right, let's hear it.
But I think that if they can continue to take care of the ball as they have, and Busquets cleaned that up, and they did a great job there. If the defense can continue to be as good as it looked with Freire in that CB position, and not being afraid to against the the set plays and the corner kicks, because last season we know that that's something that we struggle with very much. We were the team that got scored on the most. I think that if that continues and then Suarez continues to be a monster and Messi as he always is, then I'm going to give it a 4-0. 4-0, especially if Serge and Mukhtar don't play. If Haney and Mukhtar don't play, I promise you these guys in Nashville are not going to stand a chance. It's going to look like a complete domination. Because I looked at these last two games where they didn't have these two guys, they looked awful. So I think it's going to be a 4-0. If they don't, it'll be like a 3-1 or 4-1. Like, let's say Mukhtar does play, and serves, please, I'll give it like 3-1 or 4-1. But if they don't, 4-0 for me, for sure.
Yeah, agree. And I mean, to that point, like I said, even if they're not 100% healthy, I'd be very surprised if they didn't play, because they know that the second leg is going to be in Miami and they want to, you know, mitigate damage as much as possible, especially on their home field. So unless they're super, super injured or they're not prioritizing the CONCACAF Champions Cup, I think we're going to see, you know, them try and put out their best front 11, even if not everyone's at full health. But really quickly before we go, I did want to just make a quick comment that, you know, someone who is questionable for Inter Miami is Jordi Alba, who has a cold. That's why he didn't practice yesterday. But he did travel with the team. And, you know, if we know anything about Jordi Alba and his professionalism and consistency, is that unless he has like COVID or pneumonia, I expect him to be playing tomorrow night. And if not, look, Noah Allen, we've talked about him a lot at length. He is a very commendable player. And I think worst comes to worst, he could slot in and we'd still be able to have a good, strong Inter Miami back four and starting lineup. But I imagine Jordi Alba is going to be playing.
Yeah, I would agree too. I know that Tata said that he wouldn't say if he's going to play, because he wants to. He basically said, if you want to, when he was asked by the reporters, he basically said, if you want to find out if Jordi Alba is going to play, go knock on the door and ask him. because he said he wants to keep that competitive advantage and not letting the opponents know if he's going to be on the field or not. So, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, if it's a cold that's manageable, I mean, he's not going to miss a game because of boogers. So he'll definitely be on there.
Agreed. And look, we are really, really excited. We have seen in these first three matches for Inter Miami a completely different squad and outlook than we've seen last season. You know, in three matches, we've only let one goal go through. And, you know, with our defense, what we've seen, that's pretty impressive. And we're hoping to keep the energy going. We have new players coming in. We have a really strong squad, a really strong game plan and mission that I think every player on the team, from Messi to Ruiz to Kremaski to Aviles to whoever, Rolando, all have the same vision in mind, and that's to just completely change what is North American soccer and the landscape and the talent and the ability. And they're doing a great job so far. So we look forward to tomorrow's game. Thank you for listening to this preview. Let us know your thoughts and what your predictions are for the games. Make sure you're following us on social media, Twitter, Messi and Co. We're also on TikTok and on Instagram and obviously YouTube. Type in 5 Reasons Sports, Messi and Co. We will be doing a post-game live stream to hopefully talk about another great performance from Inter Miami. And we're really excited. So any last thoughts, Gian?
No, I think you summed it up very well. Let's just go into Miami. And I, again, expect, just like you, a goleada tomorrow.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. And we will talk to you more tomorrow.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.